Okay. Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Kuf Hei and Zvachim. We're behind. We're going to start all the way back on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, and we are starting with the new sugya for today. We are discussing or the hide of an animal. It will be the big part of today's discussion, as we're going to get through the sugya of Oros, of the hides. And then afterwards, we're going to turn to the topic of Harm HaNisrafim, those animals which are burnt outside. The hides are burnt as well. We'll talk about the mitzvah of Parm HaNisrafim. The first Mishnah to make reference to this morning is the Mishnah all the way back on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah says that the hide's fate is really determined by the meat, meaning whatever happens to the meat, that's what's going to happen to the hide. If the meat is eaten by the Kohanim, or in the case of an Ola, if the meat's burnt on the Mizbeach, that's perfect. So that means that the Kohanim are therefore entitled to the hide. But if the meat is not burnt on the Mizbeach, so then the Kohanim are not entitled to the hide. And it really, from the Mishnah, on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, it seems to be that as long as that meat is okay to be burnt onto the Mizbeach, meaning it had a good Zrikas Hadam, so then that's good. So then the Kohanim get to go home today with a brand new hide, and new shoes for everybody, new shoes for the whole family. The hides are part of the Matnas Kahuna, part of the gifts to the Kohanim. It's much like other Matnas Kahuna, like a Bechor, like Truma, like so many different types of gifts that are racious, I guess. So many different types of gifts that go to the Kohanim. So the hides of a carbon ola also are gifts that go to the Kohanim. That is the Mishnah that we talked about on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. Then, yesterday, we ended off this year talking about the Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, where the Mishnah over there says that it depends whether or not there is a psul before the flaying of the animal or after the flaying of the animal. Okay, that's the Mishnah over there. It seems to be that this Mishnah on Amud Beis contradicts the Mishnah on Amud Aleph. It seems to be that way, and that's what the Gemara is about to discuss. Let's do it. Let's start with the Gemara. We start with the Gemara. We're on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, and we're starting with the Gemara on the very bottom of the Amud. So, Kosh lo zacha mizbech bifsara, lo zachu konim ba'ara. Okay, so first thing the Gemara does is it quotes the Mishnah from Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah on Amud Aleph says very simply that if the mizbech doesn't get the meat, Kohanim don't get the hide, period. Afagav da'af shetela or konim zrika. And now, from the first Mishnah, whether hefshet was done, hefshet means to flay, right? To strip the animal of its hide. Whether hefshet is done or not is totally inconsequential. The only thing of consequence is, did the mizbeach get entitlement to the meat? If yes, then the hides are good. If no, then the hides are no good. Then the kohanim don't get the hides. So money, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Damar Ina, Damar Atzala, or Bifnei Atzmo. Now that seems to be going like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. We're about to learn on Kuf Dalid, that Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says that when you sprinkle the blood, it's either for the meat or no. Meaning that there's no such thing as sprinkling the blood of a carbon just for the hides. There's no such thing. Right? The sprinkling of the blood of a carbon is primarily for the meat, and that's it. The hides can go along for the ride, but you can't sprinkle blood just for the hides by themselves. Okay? So it seems to be that if you look at our Mishnah on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, it seems to be that that's supportive of Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. So, Ema Seifa. But then, let's go to the next Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah that we just saw. If you do it after Hefshet, so then the hides go to the Kohen. Meaning that if you separate the hide and the meat, and then you sprinkle the blood, even if the meat's not going to go to the Mizbeach, Kohanim get the hide. It seems to be that this Mishnah, the Amud Beis Mishnah, seems to be in conjunction with the opinion of Rebbe. Right. Now, we haven't seen Rebbe's opinion yet, but Rebbe says that you could sprinkle the blood, even if the sprinkling is only going to be as good so far as the hide. Asan the Rebbe, Damar Damar Atzala or Bifnei Atzmo. So, problem. Reisha Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Sefer Rebbe. Now it seems to be that, the way we've set it up, the first Mishnah, the Amud Aleph Mishnah, that's Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. The Amud Beis Mishnah, that's Rebbe. And that's difficult. Meaning we know there's a machlokas between Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, and Rebbe. We know that. It would just seem strange, two Mishnayos in Shas, in the 12th parak of Zvachim, back to back, one is reflecting Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, and the other is reflecting the opinion of Rebbe. It's just strange. That's essentially what the Gemara comes down to. So Amar Abaye, Mizasefer Rebbe Hi, Reisha Nami Rebbe Hi. So Abaye says no. Both Mishnayos reflect the opinion of Rebbe. Again, what does Rebbe say? Rebbe says that in principle, you can sprinkle the blood, even though the only thing that's going to you're going to get out of the sprinkling is the hide, is the oroth. Let me be clear about Rebbe's position. Let's say you shecht the animal, and right after you shecht the animal, now the Gemara is about to point out this rarely happens. It never happens. But right after you shecht the animal, you separate the skin from the meat, and the meat becomes pasul. The meat becomes disqualified. Somebody tummy touches it. The meat was taken outside the temple courtyard. The meat's no good anymore. So now what am I holding in my hand? I'm just holding a hide. Can I sprinkle the blood, even though the only thing that we're going to be able to walk away with is a hide? Right? Can I do that? Rebbe says, no, you can't. Rebbe says that doesn't work. So,
sorry, you do tzedakah before you do the... Yeah. Take the hide out. How could it be? I mean,
I just said it's not going to happen. That generally wouldn't happen, but just from a principle standpoint. In other words, just from a perspective of can you do that? So Rebbe says, I'm sorry. So wait, hold on a second. Did I confuse the two positions? I believe I just did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. The other way around. Rebbe says you can. Sorry. Rebbe says you can. Rebbe's of the opinion that you could sprinkle, even though the only thing you're walking away with from the sprinkling is the oros, is the hides. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so now the Gemara is going to say like this.
So does it always need a sprinkling to
be matir? Yes.
Okay,
yes. Okay, let's just spend a moment talking about Phil's point, because it's an important point to understand. An animal only becomes carbon, only becomes mutter through the masa hamatir, only with the act that permits it. What's the act that permits it? Zrikas Adam, the sprinkling of the blood. So, it permits, in the case of an Ola, the Mizbech to get its portion, which is the meat. It permits the Kohanim to get its portion, which is the hides. If I don't do a Zrikas Adam, so I can't eat the meat and I can't, and the Kohanim can't get the hides. The question on the table is, what if the meat's no longer in play? The meat's not in play anymore. Something happened to the meat, it became possible. The meat's not in the discussion anymore. So Rebbe says, okay, but if you're holding hide in your hand, and you could still be matir the hide, that's good enough. It's a chiddush on Rebbe's part. Think about it. Because nothing now is going to the Mizbech. I'm sprinkling the blood, but the Mizbech isn't getting anything. Rebbe says, it doesn't matter, we'll go ahead anyway. That sprinkling of the blood can be done even for the hides as well. So the Gemara says, really, both Mishnayos reflect the opinion of Rebbe. Okay? So this is Abaye's approach. Amar Abaye. Midasefer Rebbehi, Reisha Nami Rebbehi. Umode Rebbe Shein Hefsha Kodem Zrika. Abaye says, look, really the two Mishnayos go like Rebbe. So the two Mishnahs go like Rebbe. So how do you understand the first Mishnah? Because the first Mishnah, what does the first Mishnah say? If the meat goes on the Mizbeach, then the Kohanim get the hide. That doesn't sound like Rebbe. In fact, Rebbe disagrees. Rebbe says, even if the Mizbeach doesn't get its meat, the Kohanim get the hide. So how do you do that? So Abaye says it's very simple. Because what we just described practically never happens. Right? In other words, what happens? I shecht the animal, I collect the blood. I don't tend to the animal. I tend to the blood. The first thing I do is I take the blood, I go to the Mizbeach, and I do a Zrika with the blood. Rashi says, what do you expect at this point in time? That you're now, after collecting the blood, you're going to now work with the animal? The blood's going to congeal. The blood's going to get... Something's going to happen with the blood. So in other words, on a fundamental level, both Mishnayos agree with Rebbe. On a practical level, it's never going to happen where the meat and the hide get separated. So in other words, the fate of the meat is going to be the fate of the hide simply because it's a logistic issue. They're always going to be together when the Zrika is being done. But conceptually, if the two were separated, if the meat and the hide were separated, and something happens with the meat, I could still sprinkle even if it's just for the hide. That's Abaye's position. Abaye says that both Mishnayos follow the viewpoint of Rebbe. Okay, it's right. I understand. That's why the Gemara presented it as a problem. Okay. Well, Moda Rabbi Shein Nefesh Kodem Zrika. Rava Amar Midrash Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon Sefer Namir Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Okay. So, and Rav is going to give now the alternate understanding, meaning that both Mishnayos are Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Now, again, let's remember, Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon says that the fate of the hide is the fate of the meat. It's the same thing. If the meat's not going on the Mizbeach, the Kohanim are not getting the hide. Even if the two are separated, right? Even if the meat becomes disqualified and the hide's still good, no. Kohanim are not going to get it. The hide follows the meat. So, if that's true, so how do you understand both Mishnayos? So, how do you the Mishnah Amud Aleph, that makes perfect sense. How about the Mishnah Amud Beis? So, my Kodim Hefshet, Umay Acher Hefshet, top of now Kuf Dal Amud Aleph, Kodim Shinir La Hefshet, Acher Shinir La Hefshet. Okay, so Hefshet over here doesn't mean the physical act of separating the hide from the meat. It means roi. It means that if you could separate the hide from the meat, because the meat's going to go on the mizbeach, and now the kohen I'm going to take home the hide, so then good. But if the meat's not going to go on the mizbeach, so I can't separate the hide from the meat, so then the whole thing has to be discarded. Okay, good. So the Gemara over here is working a little bit backwards, as it does every now and then, meaning it first assumes that we know the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. It plugs in the two positions into the Mishnayos, meaning what we did now is we gave two approaches. Mm-hmm. Both Mishnayos are going like Rebbe, or both Mishnayos are going like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, and now the Gemara Kedarko HaKodesh introduces us to the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. My Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, the Tanya learned on the following Brice, Rebbe, Omer Hadam Ratzala, or Bifnei Atzmo, Ukshim Mabasa, Nola Bopso, Ben Kodem Zrika, Ben Lachas Zrika, Harika Yotze Bo. So Rebbe says that you can have a sprinkling of the blood even on the hide by itself, even if the meat's not raw, even if the meat's not fit. And Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Omer, Eina Damarat, Sala, or Bifnei Atzmo, Ukeshuim Abasa, Nola Bo Psul, Kodem Zrika, Harika Yotze Bo. Achra Zrika, Hurtza, And according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, the fate of the hide is really the fate of the meat. If the meat becomes permissible, the hide becomes permissible. Right? Even if they're separated. So Lema now.
The distinction between them, they're separated between or not. Does Rebbe say that if they're not separated?
Rebbe says, right, Rebbe does make a distinction between whether they are or not separated. I mean, according to Rebbe, if they're not separated, so then yes, the hide's going to follow the fate of the meat. But once they're separated...
That's the main point of the discussion.
Right.
Once they're separated, what's the...
Right, and as the Gemara just pointed out on the previous page, we normally don't separate the hide and the meat before Zvika Zadam. So logistically speaking, there's not going to be much of a difference. It never happens. But conceptually speaking, it's possible that you could do a Zrika, even though the only thing that it yields is going to be hide. Okay. Now the Gemara goes to the Psukim, Lema b'drab... Oh, no, not yet. I'm sorry. Lema b'drab lazer av Yeshua kamiflagi. Sorry. What the Gemara is going to try to do is strike a parallel, meaning that we have seen earlier in this Masechta a machlok between Rabbi Lazer and Rabbi Yeshua, and the Gemara would like to connect this machlokas of Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, together with the machlokas of Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yoshua. The pasuk says, "Vasisa olasecha abasar v'adam." Rebbe Yoshua omer, "Im ein dam, ein basar. Im ein basar, ein dam." According to Rebbe Yoshua, in order to do a sprinkling, there's got to be meat. There's got to be. Meaning, if there is no meat, for example, you shecht the carbon and the carbon becomes tamei. Right away, right after the shechita. Carbon becomes tamei. Wait. Or how about this? How about the carbon was taken outside the Azara? Okay, there. Done. Okay? So the actual animal itself now is out of the equation. Do I still sprinkle the blood? Rabbi Yoshua says no. No, you don't. You can't just sprinkle the blood if it doesn't yield anything. It's got to result in something. If you just sprinkle the blood just because you're sprinkling the blood, that doesn't work. You can't do it. That's Shitas Rabbi Yoshua. He bases it on the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vasisa olo secha habasar vahadam. The very definition of an ola is basar and dam. If you don't have basar and dam, you don't have an ola. So you need meat. Meat has to be part of the equation. Okay, that's Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer omer, dam afa pishem basar. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, blood can exist by itself. If all you have is blood, you can sprinkle the blood. Fine? So, Shenamar, which is, give me a moment, V'dam zvachecha yishafech, the Pasuk says, and you're going to, dam zvachecha, the blood of your zevach, of your carbon, you're going to pour. Meaning it could still be a zevach, even if all you have is blood. So, im kein, now the Gemara is going to, we're still going to spend just a little bit more time in this machlokas to Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Im kein matam alam ravasisa olasecha abasar v'adam. Good. What do you do with what's Rabbi Yehoshua going to do with the pasuk of Basar Dam? It just tells me how I apply the meat. I got to apply the meat using Zrika. I got to throw the meat. What does that mean? Halamata, we learned this before. That there's a little gap, a little space between the ramp and the Mizbeach, so that when I go up the ramp and I place the meat on the Mizbeach, I don't place it. I throw it. Just like the blood gets a little Zrika, the meat gets a Zrika as well. But in terms of, can I do the blood without the meat? Absolutely. Okay, now.
You have to throw it from the Mizbeach.
You can't step onto the Mizbeach. I mean, there is a walkway for the Mizbeach, but for the application of the meat, he says you have to throw it. Okay, wait, just give me a moment.
In terms of sequence though, right?
Let's just get through this because we are right. Let's just work with the Gemara's parallel. We have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. The machlokas between the two of them is whether or not a carbon can be without meat. Is there such a thing as sprinkling the blood even though there's no meat? So right now I'll tell you, it's a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. And what the Gemara is doing, think about it because it's smart. It's always smart, just it's a question of whether we figure it out. Think about it, it's smart. What the Gemara is doing is that it's trying to now strike a parallel between this machlokas and our machlokas now between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. Can I sprinkle the blood if all I've got to show for it is the skin, is the hide of the animal? So lichora, the Gemara says, it's the same machlokas. Because what is the hide? Hides not going up on the Mizbeach. Hides are taken home by the Kohanim. So essentially, it could very well be that Rebbe, who says that you could do a Zrika, if even though the only thing you have to show for it is the hide, so Rebbe's going like Rebbe Yehoshua. And Rebbe Ali and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, who says, no, if you don't have meat, if all you have is hide, you can't do a Zrika Zadam. So his position, meaning that of Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, seems to be going like Rebbe Eliezer. Don't get confused. It's Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, and Rebbe Eliezer. But the two, even though their names are similar, their positions conceptually are similar. I need meat. Without meat, there's nothing to talk about. I can't do a Zrika Zadam. So this is what the Gemara would like to do, is it would like to parallel the two machloksim. And now, let's get through this. Salema, Manda Amar. Hurtza Karebi Elazar, Uman Damar Lo Hurtza Karebi Yehoshua. Okay, now, here's what the Gemara is going to do. It's going to separate. Maybe the two machloksim are not totally parallel. Aliba de Rebbe Eliezer Kuleyama Lo Plige. Look, according to Rebbe Eliezer, what are you going to say? His position is so fundamental. Rebbe Eliezer says, you could sprinkle the blood by itself. If I could sprinkle the blood by itself, I for sure could sprinkle the blood. Sorry, that's not Rabbi Eliezer. Sorry. Yes, it is. If you could sprinkle the blood by itself, for sure you could sprinkle the blood if all you got is hide. That's clear. Ki pliga liba de Rabbi Yehoshua. However, what they're going to argue is, even in Rabbi Yehoshua's position, we can engage in this discussion. According to Rabbi Yehoshua, the pasuk says, "Imein dam, ein basar, ein dam." I need both. I need both meat and blood. So man dam or lo hurts the Rabbi Yehoshua. So look, if all I got is hide, hide is not meat. It's not. It's not the thing that goes up onto the mizbeach. It's not consumed by anybody. It's not meat. So that they understand very well. But man dam or hurtsa. But what about according to the opinion of Rabbi? Rabbi will argue and he will say, I can fit in even to Rabbi Yehoshua. Amar lecha ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Yehoshua asam ela bebasa de leka pseida le kohanim. Aval or de ika pseida le kohanim afilu Rabbi Yehoshua mode. Look, Rabbi Yehoshua's position, right? I know what, if you hear him, you know what he sounds like? It sounds like you need meat. Right? That's it. If you listen to Rabbi Yehoshua, it sounds like you really need meat. I mean, that's pretty much what he says. To repeat what he said, Im ein basar ein dam, im ein dam ein basar. It sounds that way. But don't, Rabbi Yeshua is not as fundamental as you think he is. He's not so absolute. The Gemara is going to prove to us in just a moment how we know that he's not so absolute. But he's not. And if there is a pseudo lekohanim, if the kohanim stand to lose, Rabbi Yeshua would say, you know what? Just go ahead, sprinkle the blood. It's okay. When would the kohanim stand to lose? If the meat is no good and the meat's no longer accessible in the discussion, but there's still a beautiful hide of the animal. And if I don't do the Zrika Saddam, the kohanim are going to go home with no hide? Then you could do a Zrika Saddam. Okay. Now, how can we make this argument? Because again, if you read Rabbi Yeshua, it doesn't sound like that. Sounds like meat is a prerequisite in order to sprinkle the blood. So the Gemara says, no, I know Rabbi Yeshua's position is not so absolute. How do I know that? Because I feel Rabbi Yeshua mod the meat the adievit, not because we learned in the Mishnah in Pesachim. Nitma basar nifsal sheyatzach chutzaklayim, Rabbi Lazar amar yizrok, Rabbi Yeshua amar lo yizrok. So, the Mishnah in Pesachim tells us that if the meat becomes tamei or disqualified, or it leaves the parameters of the azara, so Rabbi Elazar says you sprinkle the blood because l'shitaso, he's of the opinion you sprinkle the blood, even though it's just that's all you got. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Lo Yizrok, and Rabbi Yeshua says you shouldn't sprinkle the blood l'shitaso because you don't got the meat. However, listen to the next part of the Mishnah. Umo de Rabbi Yeshua Shiim Zarak Hortsa Bidieved, it's okay. It works bidieved. Okay, owner of the carbon is going to get credit bidieved if you sprinkle the blood, even though there's no meat together with the blood. Now that's not just talking about the case where the meat becomes tame, because then you could argue that the tzitz is merats, and okay, you can make those arguments. But the Mishnah Pesachim is talking about where the meat was taken out, right? Nitma basar or nifsal or shiyaseh chosekliyim. In any one of those cases, same result. Bidieved, Rabbi Yeshua says it's okay. What do we see from the Mishnah Pesachim? Rabbi Yeshua is not so absolute. In other words, if the question comes up on the table, all I got is blood, I don't have meat, don't sprinkle. Bidieved, it works. Pseida lekohanim, what if I have the hides? What if the sprinkling of the blood can let the kohanim walk home today with a new pair of shoes?
Do it.
Right? So even Rabbi Yeshua would say do it. So the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua is not necessarily the same machlokas as Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon.
In terms of sequence, the donor of the korban still gets the credit if there's zrika, right?
Right, so correct.
It's just a matter of the meat not becoming eligible to be eaten.
Correct, but Rabbi Yeshua would say to you, if you don't have meat, Rabbi Yeshua would say you can't sprinkle. Well, what about the owner? I'll have to find a new korban. You know, it is interesting because for Pseida LeKohanim, I'm just thinking out loud right now. For Pseida LeKohanim, Rabbi Yoshua would say, do it. But for the owner of the carbon to have to get a new carbon, Rabbi Yoshua would say, no, don't.
The difference is that there's nothing wrong with it at all. For the meat, you cannot put it on because it's tumor or it's a base.
Right.
You can't do anything with it.
Right.
So
the
carbon.
Who is the carbon? So it's really not fair. He's 4 years. Has to go and get another.
Okay, I mean,
we're never fair.
Life isn't always right. Life isn't always fair. I try to convince my kids that they're not buying.
We're not talking about meat.
In other words, we do pasuk like Rabbi Yoshua, right? Imein basar ein dam. If without meat, there's no blood. And okay, so that's but the Gemara says that the question of the hides may not connect to the question of the meat.
We didn't talk about the how the hide becomes tumor. Can you still do this? Again?
Yeah, so I would assume yes. So meaning, if they have meat, for sure.
Saying the meat is tumor. No,
the meat. Oh, the meat and the hide. So now we're at the machlok.
Exactly. So can but you now we're at the zeke for the hide.
Yes.
Right. Is that the machlok?
It's tumor. So what? The coin can still get it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. The hides are tame. The hides are tame. First of all, how are the hides going to become tame?
So when it's separated.
Yeah, but it has to be a kli. So meat is susceptible to tumah. Right. Now we're getting into tumah tahara discussion. Okay, no, it's fine. I just right the hides by themselves.
You know what the guys intended.
You
said
it come first.
Okay.
Rabbi, just one second.
Yeah.
This gentleman has a question.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Spokesman, huh? Malitz Yosher.
Okay.
Amar Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim. Okay. The Rabbi Chanina Sganei Kohanim says, I never saw hides get burnt. I never saw it. Right? Back in the Mishnah, Rabbi Chanina Sganei Kohanim says, look, I worked in the Beis HaMikdash, yeah, I don't know how long, it doesn't say, but I never saw it. Lo Reino. And the Chachamim said to Rabbi Chanina Sganei Kohanim, Lo Reino in Araya. Like, good, I'm glad you never saw it. But that doesn't mean anything, you know. You're on a bathroom break, maybe one day they could have been burning hides, and you never saw it. So, but he says that. Now the Gemara says, even in that statement by itself, I can't imagine. The Gemara is saying, the Gemara is going to tell us, you never saw any carbon get disqualified. You never saw. It's hard to imagine. So the Gemara questions. So Amr Rabbi Chanin is going to go and Valov Arei Parman Nisrafim Sirhun Nisrafim. So the Gemara says, first of all, you know, annually carbonos get burnt, not on the Mizbeach. Yom Kippur, the par and the seer of Yom Kippur. So what happens to the blood we know about that goes into the Heichal and into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That we know about. What about the animal? Animal gets burnt
completely,
including the hides. So what are you talking about, Rabbi Chanin is going to call on him? So the Gemara says, mitzvah, son lo karmarina. No, I wasn't talking about that. That's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to burn those animals. I was talking about where there was an oops, where somebody goofed in the mizbeah, in the Beis HaMikdash. And I never saw that. So, hare karnim hefshe, v'karnim zrika, chalotz, I'm sorry,